We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Filling in, I'm Derek Fogle. Great to be with you, South Carolina. You want to get a hold of me? You can tweet at me at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Of course, the text line is open. I love it when you send me a message there. Love me or hate me. I don't care. 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Diesel still on the sticks as usual. And you know what? I still haven't decided whether or not it's okay to make change out of the tip jar for your tip. You have a poll going on Twitter right now, don't you?
I do.
Okay. Can you tell me what it is so I can cheat and say what everybody or say what the majority says?
Well, so far, 59% say it's not okay to make change in a restaurant tip jar. I thought it would be like 80% saying it's not okay, but it's only 59%.
So here's the thing.
That means four out of 10 people would do it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I totally would do it also. Like if you had a number in mind that you wanted to tip, like, okay, I have a $100 bill in my pocket. Guess I only have to, I can only tip $100. No, that's not how that works. Is the better thing to do, ask change from the register? Yeah, but you're still tipping. It's just, it looks bad.
Right. Drew LeBlanc gets in and says, leave the $5 or ask for singles. Maybe he didn't feel like the person had time. Maybe they thought they were busy. I don't know. Or maybe he just wanted to be done with it and get out of there.
Yeah, either way, I'm probably the guy that does the same thing. So I'm going to have to vote on the other side of it. I'll make sure I click it to try and skew my numbers to be in the majority here with those people. But yeah, I don't know if it looks bad, but it's okay. So I don't know if that means that it's wrong just because it looks bad. Like Crocs look bad in my book. Does that make it okay? Yeah, technically. It's not going to look good to everybody. So yeah, I file under that category. Am I a jerk? Yeah, I'll admit it. It's fine. Moving on. Well, I'm sure we'll revisit this because there's no way that poll is done. When does it end? Did you do a 24-hour one?
Yeah, standard 24 hours.
Okay. When does it end, just so I know?
Should be 24 hours from tomorrow around 4:30. Yeah, tomorrow around 4:30 is when it should be over.
Oh, yeah. We got plenty of time. Okay. Good. So we'll circle back to that. Hopefully more people become open to making change out of the tip jar for their tip. Hopefully I can convince people of that so I don't look like the bad guy here. On to this. So South Carolina looks like they're losing their safety, Jameis Williams. And then there was the University of Houston quarterback scenario where D'Eriq King, where he allegedly elected to transfer. He said today that that's not the case, but he played four games and now is taking a red shirt. But, you know, even if that's the case, even if he's not transferring, it brings up a bigger question for me of just, is it selfishness or is it having control of your career, which is understandable, but there's a fine line here of being selfish, right? And just bailing on your team or bailing on your commitment even to a coach. And if you want to say a school, I don't think you owe anything to the school. It's more so the coach that you committed to. You said you were going to be there for 4 years. Look, if you're not playing, I get it. You should probably leave.
What was that line you used yesterday, Derek, about, you know, every time you tell me it's a business, say that line again.
Oh boy, I don't remember. what did I say?
No, it was actually a very poignant line. Every time you tell me it's a business, every time I treat it like a game, you tell me it's a business, and you said it better than I did.
No, but that's good enough. Yeah, that's good enough. It'll work. Why? What's your saying?
No, it was good. It was a really good take on it.
don't know. I'm just so full of hot air, Diesel. I can't always remember what happens. But the text line says, never want to be caught rummaging through the tip jar like Costanza. Well,
that is a Costanza thing to do.
It is. I'm not held. It's not good for my case. It's okay. You're still giving a tip. It just looks bad. Just hope that no one sees. So, yes, it's a weird thing where we're towing the line with selfishness. But I understand it personally because I had to take control of my piddly college baseball career. My quick story, I ended up having a few Division I offers, but also a Division II offer. Chose Division II because I didn't think I was going to play Division I, but also I didn't think I was good enough. But the coach that I wanted to go play for, the pitching coach, he left for another school. So I decided, all right, I'll go Division II. Well, it turns out Division II had a good, really good year. Realized that, okay, I am good enough to go Division I and possibly better. I had to go to junior college to make the step back up to Division I instead of being penalized and redshirted. So, yeah, I had to go into that coach's office and tell him, I'm not honoring the commitment of staying here and I'm leaving. And it was one of the most uncomfortable things I've ever had to do, but it was, and I'll never forget it. I was moving out of the dorms and I had just packed everything up. My parents were waiting for me and I said, I got to go talk to coach. I have that meeting right now and I got to let him know. And in that meeting, when I told him, it was just an exit meeting that you always have when you're leaving school for the summer. But I remember I was sitting there. I was like, I really appreciate everything. I felt like I had a really good season. And I appreciate you believing in me and giving a freshman a chance as a starter. But I feel like I need to move on for myself and do something more and challenge myself more. And the second I said, I need to move on, he looked up at me. He was looking down through papers. He looked up at me. And then at that point, I looked down as I continued to talk. It's an uncomfortable conversation, believe me. So I feel for these guys when they know they need to move on, even though somebody believes in them or someone's depending on them. And then the happy ending here, that coach actually was, he was awesome. He ended up saying, like, you know what, I saw enough talent. I get it. You can totally move on. And I hope the best for you, man. Really good luck. He was so cool. I'll never forget that. And then, oddly enough, the pitching coach, who I thought was the cool guy, had texted me and left me voicemails when he found out, like an hour later, I was already booking it out of that college town. He had left me voicemails like, dude, can't believe you're leaving. Thought you were going to have a great career here. Thought you wanted to, you know, continue to be here and learn. And he like laid into me. So it's not always a happy ending for these guys when they leave. And we've seen that before, right? Nick Saban will let some guys go and other guys not. And is that within the conference and are there reasons? Sure. And even is it up to the NCAA? More so, yeah. But these situations are very delicate. And if I have to lean to a side of if it's selfish or if it's just career control, I can't. It's both. Okay, in this day and age, I don't think it's the selfishness that we are looking at, which I've even ranted about on these airwaves, about how, well, look at kids now, social media, it's all about looking at yourself. You just take a picture of your own face and put it on the internet and see how many likes you get. And I get that that kind of selfishness totally exists in a really bad way. But this isn't. What are we always telling kids to do? Think of your future, right? Think about your future. So it's a very mature way of being selfish. Puts it in a very negative light when we say it that way. But we're telling kids to be conscious of their future, to really invest in themselves. And then when it comes time to do it, we're telling them, no, you can't do it. You're not honoring a commitment. You're not being selfish. Are they not honoring a commitment? That's technically correct. But you still have to look out for you. And you also have to go where you're wanted. That doesn't necessarily mean we've lost the importance of team just because you're going where you're wanted. I'm experiencing that in work right now. I have a manager that is not a fan of me. Actions speak louder than words. Won't say it. Well, actually, he did say it. Not a fan of me. That's fine. I have to go somewhere else. That's part of life. You got to go where you're wanted. You got to do what's best for you. because you're investing in yourself. You're investing in your future. So before we decide to go in on someone like Derek King, because people were going in hard on him, like, this looks above anything like a selfish move. On the surface, yeah, it could look like that. It definitely looks that way. But don't forget that we're still investing in ourselves. How can anybody else be any different? Right? You wonder why sometimes you don't get the best responses from your friends, but anyone's only concern is ever me. I mean mine. You're the star of your own movie, right? So why wouldn't you invest in yourself and be a little, quote, selfish when you have to be? Let's not paint these kids in a bad light. Because I've also said it before on these shows, filling in for ESPN Upstate, Derek Fogle, that you're 19. Think about yourself at 19, 20, 21, 18 even for a lot of these kids. You're not that smart. You're figuring out life. So before we berate them for doing what's best for themselves, let's also remember the position that they might be in. It might not be that simple. Face value, it might look really negative. Big picture, I think we could be a lot more understanding of it. And I know this is a large conversation because now we're tied to, should we pay these guys? And, well, the NCAA this, and education that, and competition this, the conference that, coach this. There's a lot of moving parts, I understand. But from my experience and having to walk away from a school and tell a coach that I'm leaving, it's a much more personal experience than you think. And it's not so selfish. We're telling kids to invest in their future. Good. Good. It's not an easy conversation to have. Derek Fogle filling in straight up with Sturge. You want to connect with me at Fogle said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Also text line 71307. Start that text with ESPN. Texter says, is it okay for me to go in your wallet and make change without you knowing? No, it's not okay to make change out of the tip jar. No, that's excessive. That's not a good comparison. You're still giving a tip. You're not stealing. Oh, I'm going to look like a jerk at the end of this just because I said I would probably do the same. It doesn't look good, but you can still do it. Okay, coming up next, an NFL narrative that is running on E. We'll get to that. Derek Fogle filling in, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Filling in straight up with Sturge. I'm Derek Fogle. Filling in for Sturge. Filling in for Willie P. Will Pelagic. I think I got it that time.
There you
right?
go.
Yeah. Woo! Thank you, Diesel. All right. So before we get into this conversation, this narrative in the NFL that's running on E, as in, you know, like your gas light's on, it's almost empty. The discussion of, you know, where is the selfishness, or is it just career control? Is it a little bit of both? I say you got to understand it's a little bit of both, and that's very easy to say for college kids. But do we feel the same way when it comes to NFL players? And the reason I bring it up is because Chargers running back Melvin Gordon could soon be moving up his reporting date. There's no final decision, but he had planned to return at some point in October, but now it's changed, and it seems as though what's best for him is to get back on the field and show his value. So here's the thing. We are really, the owners, the coaches, we for some reason are really brainwashed to think, well, oh, you got to do what's best for the team here in the NFL. We always want to oust guys the second they want to hold out for money. But it's kind of the same thing here. They're investing in their future, especially in a game like football. Don't you think you really need to invest in your future and get the money? And okay, it sounds bad, right? Because they're getting an exorbitant amount of cash. So, like, it looks worse, right? It looks more selfish than ever just because it's so much money. But that's the investment that they made in their lives. That's become their livelihood. So while it's ugly and you're trying to pick a side, just choose the players. It's never easy because it's a ton of money that you wish you had, and they're not necessarily great guys. Like, as Ezekiel Elliott's holding out, am I necessarily rooting for him to get the most money in that deal? Not really. He hasn't really proven that he's someone that you want to root for unless he's on your fantasy team. He gets in shoving matches with security guards at festivals and not terribly likable. But as the player, as the business side goes, you gotta have some wherewithal to understand that's not selfish. It's an investment in their own futures. Am I crazy to think that, Diesel? Because you're someone that doesn't like the NFL, or you've, not that you don't like the NFL, but you've been, you know, a little aloof from it. You've turned away from it just because it hasn't caught your eye. There's some things that have happened. There's the rule changes. And I get it. I tell people that if this wasn't my job, I probably wouldn't watch the NFL either. I'm more of a college football guy. But when we try to decide if players are being selfish, I feel like it's a lot easier to say that no, they're looking out for their futures for the college kids. And it's a little more difficult to say that about the NFL player, but we should feel the same way. Am I on the right track, though, in thinking that people are less inclined to understand that they're trying to figure out their future, for they're less inclined to be on the side of the NFL player?
Yeah, I don't think there's not a whole lot of people who have too much sympathy for the plight of NFL athletes.
Right.
You know, these are guys who are making millions and millions of dollars to play a game. And the highest profile of them, which I get, set a terrible example for the way a majority of NFL players and a majority of athletes in general conduct themselves. All we hear about is the 4, 5, 10 guys who are jerks about it, right? We don't hear about the good guys about it. But at the same time, they are operating on a level that you or I will never understand. You know, we have the ability to make money off of our profession, God willing, hopefully for 40 years. They don't have that opportunity. It could end tomorrow for all they know. They could break a leg in practice and they're done. Their ability to make money as an athlete is over tomorrow. Yeah. So does it make them look selfish? Does it make them look childish? Yes, it does. But what's their alternative? Hoping that the team does right by them? Businesses don't just give away money. I don't know if you're aware of that, and everybody listening. Companies don't just give away money because it makes their employees happy. They only give up a lot of money when they have to.
Yep. And it's something that I think we've kind of lost sight of is empathy. And trying to, you know, you don't understand what's the, you got to walk in their shoes, a day in their shoes, however that saying goes, you get it. I think we've lost sight of that a little bit when it comes to things like this. But also your point that it could end immediately. Look at Ryan Shazier, the Pittsburgh linebacker that he broke his neck or back, and now he's walking. Good for him. And he still wants to play football. I think he knows it's realistic. Yeah, you've got to capitalize. We gotta work on that empathy. And you're right. We'll never know. It's not relatable. We'll never know what it's like to operate with millions of dollars in our bank account, to operate where people are taking care of you. You're fed. Your clothes are washed at practice. You are, once you walk in those doors, you're completely taken care of. Like, we won't experience that. And then even if you need anything, you can get anything you want. I mean, having been a reporter myself and being in clubhouses and locker rooms, I have some stories that I won't share on the air, but it's sickening. Some of the things when I say they can get whatever they want, it's the truth, man. It is the truth. Texter says NFL is a business. Yep. Yes, it is. The employees that overperform deserve to be paid just like an employee at a Fortune 500 company that excels. Yeah, that's the reality of it. The players are the ones creating the profit, so they probably need more of it. Let's check out this NFL narrative that I think is running on empty right now. It's and it oddly enough came up today on one of the ESPN shows. Might have been First Take or Good Morning, whatever. I don't watch it. I was in the gym and it was just on in the background. You know how that works. The sound isn't on, but I can see the headline on it. And it's will Colin Kaepernick be helping a team soon? You know, I can tell you one thing. People don't really care about the kneeling anymore. Kenny Stills is doing it for the Texans, and one reporter is trying to make a story of it, and people are more annoyed that he's trying to make a story of it than actually the kneeling itself. They just care that he's trying to make it a story. If you're still white-knuckling that conversation, by the way, the kneeling, not going to do it. I feel sorry that that's something for you. Not going to address it any further. But I think it's funny that you still think Colin Kaepernick could be an NFL quarterback. Was he very talented? Yes. But he hasn't played since 2016. He's 31, about to turn 32 in like 6 weeks. He doesn't have the wear and tear of playing the last few years. But for his style of play, he's probably over the hill. You know, I don't think this is really that off base to say, okay, maybe it's time to move away from this narrative. He's done as a quarterback. Probably just because of his age and the fact that he might be a little rusty. Would it be nice to see him back in the league after being blackballed? Yeah, I wouldn't mind it. I haven't gotten away from the fact that what he was protesting was for, he just wants some equality and accountability. There's nothing wrong with that. But the reason I bring it up too is the Panthers are kind of in a tough spot where they can't quit and rebuild. You have too many solid pieces. And then Kyle Allen's come along and he's maybe holding the line for them. But Cam is seemingly not able to stay healthy. And he's on, if we're talking the back nine of his career, he might be on 17 right now, or might be teeing off on 17. So would you look at somebody like Colin Kaepernick because it's an incredibly similar style of quarterback? Yeah, you might. But the reality is you might not be getting something better than what you already have. Like I said, he's about to be 32 years old. This idea that he could come back and be the guy that he was once was in leading a team to the Super Bowl is probably not realistic. And there's nothing about race involved here. It's not about his kneeling. That I'm looking at talent. That's just the way I see it. I don't think I'm really that far off. Texter says Colin Kaepernick was trash when he left the league. He could be at best a backup. That's a good point. Texter also says everyone gives the guy so much credit for some reason. Well, he led a team to a Super Bowl. That's pretty good. Not a lot of quarterbacks were able to do that in this Brady Manning era. Granted, he was in the NFC, but no, Kaepernick was pretty good. And you're saying if at least he could be a backup, how many teams could use a good backup? A lot. For example, the Houston Texans spent a lot of money just to get A.J. McCarron there in case Deshaun Watson went down. That's important, having a backup. That's not to be poo-pooed. Chase Daniel has made an incredible, talk about living the life. Chase Daniel, former quarterback at University of Missouri, back when they were number one in the country in like 2009. He's been a backup in the NFL for Drew Brees. He was with the Redskins. And he's made over $40 million as a backup. What a life. It's like if you've seen Blue Mountain State, he's Colin Moran. Living the dream.
Sign me up. You never have to take hits from, you know, 320-pound linebackers.
I'm saying. And then you're making millions of dollars.
You're making millions. It's a good life.
Yeah.
The only thing that's hurt is his ego, but I don't know. There's 40 million reasons to feel pretty good about it.
Exactly. So teams are willing to invest in a backup. Could Colin be that guy? I think it's actually time to move on from this narrative. He's old. Well, I'm sorry. He's not actually old for anyone that's about to turn 32 or even just 30. He's just old for football. And it's too bad. He was a talented guy. Really wild style of play that's fun to watch. Whether it'll lead you to another Super Bowl, I don't know. Really, Kaepernick and Cam are really similar. That style, making it to a Super Bowl, losing. Strange. Anyway, next segment, let's go inside the Texans locker room, shall we? How are they preparing for the Panthers? I've got some questions lined up from my buddy Jeremy Branham, reporter and host for Sports Radio 610, the flagship of the Houston Texans. We will call him next, trying to figure out what to look for on Sunday against the Panthers. Derek Fogel filling in straight up with Sturge, ESPN Upstate.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Filling in for Sturge, filling in for Will. I'm Derek Fogel. Great to be with you. 71307, keyword ESPN. Text in. Tweet at me, at Fogel said what, F-O-G-E-L said what. Now we're going to get into some Texans-Panthers talk, get you ready for Sunday. I know it's a little early. I can't believe it's only Wednesday. Tuesday and Wednesday are the toughest days of the week, just when it comes to, like, I know Wednesday's hump day, but man, sometimes I just need a little more to get me through that week. But we'll be joined now by Jeremy Branham, reporter and host for Sports Radio 610 in Houston. That's the flagship station of the Texans. And, you know, the Panthers are a team that are fighting to stay relevant with a little bit of a question mark at quarterback. We'll talk about that in a minute. And the Texans, they're really trying to elevate themselves above the rest. I think this is a really interesting matchup Sunday. I was talking to Jeremy about this earlier. I was saying how the Panthers' defense, they've limited big plays. They've given up just one pass longer than 30 yards going into this week. And then you're going against Deshaun Watson, who is like the big play guy, whether it's to Kenny Stills or Hopkins or Fuller downfield. Who do you think makes another step here, Jeremy? Who makes that step forward? Is it Watson with his big plays or the Panthers' defense that ranks fourth in the league in net yards and also second in pass defense? Who do you think, you know, it's unstoppable force meets an immovable object. Who wins here, Watson or Panthers D?
Yeah, Derek, it's an interesting matchup because it's something that the Texans haven't really faced this season. I think the Texans have the options to get the advantage over Carolina in that aspect because they have some underneath guys who are pretty good in that spot. Now, you're right, the Texans like to take, you know, their shot plays, as they call it, but they have guys that can help them out underneath. Kiki QT hasn't done much this season, especially with the addition of Kenny Stills, but we saw him in limited appearances last year where he had a couple of games.
Did we lose him? No. All right. Well, we'll try and call him back. Is that all right, Diesel? Can we try and call him back? Yeah. We'll try and do that. I'll run down some numbers, though, real quick, just with what he was getting at with the options that the Texans have. The Texans rank 17th in the NFL in total offense, which that doesn't sound good, but they've been really good on third down. And this is what I was talking about earlier when I was saying how Watson is kind of being limited by Bill O'Brien is because they've had to have so much success later in drives, specifically third down. They've been very effective. They're converting 50% of third downs. That's tied for fifth in the league. That's pretty good. And that happens for other reasons, right, in which I think. But they're this late explosive team, and that's thanks to Deshaun Watson. That's thanks to DeAndre Hopkins. That's thanks to Kenny Stills, the speed they have. And this is also the first time that Watson has faced the Panthers. So wonder how that'll go. He's completed 65% of his passes. That's pretty good for this season, just to start. And, you know, I want to get into, hopefully we can get Jeremy back, because I would love to ask him what he thought of the Texans-Chargers game. I thought people were giving a lot of credit to the Texans. I don't think it's as good of a team as some people might think just because they beat the Chargers on the road. Okay, they're always in close games because of Bill O'Brien. That's my belief. But also, You know, I mentioned they were 17th in the NFL in total offense, which that, you know, is not very braggadocious. But here's something that's alarming. They're 22nd in total defense. If you're wondering how Kyle Allen is going to do against this Texans team, this Texans defense, I would think give them a pretty good shot. Right? The Cardinals weren't a huge test. The Texans look like a better team than they actually are. The numbers don't lie here. So we'll have to see what happens. The Panthers are 2-0 against the Texans in the Ron Rivera era. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. And we did get him back. All right, that's great news. Thank you, Diesel. So, Jeremy, I was just saying how the Texans rank 17th in the NFL in total offense, and they're 22nd in total defense. Kyle Allen, we know he's kind of come out of nowhere. He did pretty well against the Cardinals. 4 touchdowns, pretty good amount of yards, not many misses. Not the best test, but then again, the Texans look like an intimidating team because they had a good road win, but their defense is struggling. You had the chance to see Kyle Allen while he was at U of H for that split second and even a little bit at Texas A&M, but you do the play-by-play and, of course, report on University of Houston for 610 as well. What are your thoughts on Kyle Allen as he kind of starts an NFL career?
Thoughts on Allen are pretty optimistic. I thought more of Kyle Allen than a lot of people who covered him in his college career. I mean, you go back to A&M and you think of his freshman year. Who was he in competition with to get snaps as a true freshman? He was in competition with Kyler Murray, and we saw what he did. He won a Heisman, turned out to be the number one overall pick in the NFL, and at one point, we all thought Allen was in that same conversation with Kyler Murray. I thought Allen made a bad decision whenever he transferred to U of H, to be honest with you, and, you know, I bleed Cougar Red more than anybody, but the offense just didn't suit him. You know, Kyle Allen is somebody who relies on his arm. He's got a cannon. He's a very accurate thrower. And the U of H offense, whenever he went there, was, you know, they were more dual threat. They were doing a lot of RPOs, repass option. They like guys who are active and can move in the running game with their quarterbacks. We see that now with De'Aaron King. We saw that with Greg Ward whenever Allen transferred over. So I thought that was a bad decision by Kyle Allen. It didn't really showcase who he was as a quarterback. I thought he would have benefited going to, like, you know, Washington State, somewhere he could sling it around 40 to 50 times a game to show off his arm. The little bit I saw of Allen, I was really impressed. I mean, he could make every throw. He had a really strong arm, and he was really accurate. And I think that the offensive staff at Houston just didn't really, you know, run that type of offense and didn't utilize him in the best way.
I want to revisit. Before we lost you, you were getting into who you thought might make the step and a progression in the who's going to give here. The Carolina defense that just ranks second, the pass defense is second in the NFL in yards allowed. Or is it Deshaun Watson and his arsenal that can just stretch the ball downfield and surprise you? The Texans are actually 50% on third down conversions, tied for fifth in the league. They kind of put themselves in those positions, but Watson can explode to Hopkins and Stills and Fuller down the field. Who do you think gives here? You were starting to get into whether it would be Panthers defense or Deshaun Watson and the Texans offense. Who do you think makes that next step?
You know, it's an interesting test for the Texans offense because this gives them the opportunity to show that they're multiple offensively. Like, we know that DeAndre Hopkins is one of the top-tier receivers in the NFL. Will Fuller and Kenny Stills can take the top off of defenses. But can the Texans beat you, you know, kind of the way the Patriots beat you, by nickel and diming you all the way up the field? We haven't seen that yet. If they can do that, I think Kiki Kuti is somebody who is an option. We saw glimpses of him doing that a year ago. He had a couple of games where he caught 10 passes or more. He hasn't really broke out this year yet. He's been behind Kenny Stills for that number 3 wide receiver spot. But maybe in a game where Carolina's making you beat him underneath, that Kiki Kuti gets involved for the first time this season. I think another option for the Texans and somebody that the Panthers need to look out for is Duke Johnson. The Texans traded a 3rd-round pick for Duke Johnson with the idea that they really wanted somebody to help hit them out of the backfield in the passing game. And Duke hasn't done that a whole lot yet. I would say more because of game script than anything else. And I think if the Texans are going to be an offense that's really good, and I heard you mention some of those numbers, it's not an offense that's been really good yet. I think it has the potential to be a really good offense, and one way to become a really good offense is to beat teams in multiple ways, not just the shot plays, not just downfield, not just Deshaun Watson, you know, making chicken salad out of you know what. But they have to be able to beat teams over the middle, too. I think Kiki Kutsi and Duke Johnson out of the backfield can be ways that would help the Texans' offense.
You know, the Panthers, they feel like where I'm sorry, before I ask you this next question, we're joined by Jeremy Branham from Sports Radio 610, Texans reporter. You know, the Panthers are in a weird spot where they're trying to figure out if Kyle Allen's the guy. But in the meantime, this is kind of their toughest matchup since Rams in week one, since hosting the Rams. And there might be, you know, not many strong feelings that they could really win this game. I think that this is a pretty evenly matched game because for whatever reason, the Texans seem to find their way in close games with Bill O'Brien. I don't know why he does that, but do you think that maybe the win in LA for the Texans might have boosted their egos a little too much and that the Panthers might be able to take advantage of them coming on Sunday?
You know, that's an interesting question because, you know, this is a Texans team that, you know, they really haven't had a whole lot to be too proud of, I guess. You know, last year they won the division title, but that was, you know, it really wasn't a season where they were really overly impressive. They started the year 0-3, they needed a 9-game winning streak, and then they had an opportunity late in the season to lock up the bye in the AFC, and they couldn't get it done. And then you lose in the first round, I'm sorry, to the Colts, where you got beat pretty bad. So I don't think at any point last year there was a proud moment. And I think, it was a big win for the Texans, and they're acting like it. You know, they're acting like they beat an AFC playoff caliber team on the road. Now, a banged-up Charger team with left tackle gone, Melvin Gordon is not there yet. They're missing some pieces from that defense, too. But, you know, I don't see that. I don't see this team, I don't feel like they felt like they played incredibly well. Like, they were happy with the win, but I don't feel like they thought that they played their absolute best. So I don't see that. I don't see the overconfidence from them.
Jeremy Branham, Texans reporter for Sports Radio 610, the flagship station of the Houston Texans. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm sorry about the technical difficulties, but I'm glad I got to get you on because I think it's going to be a really good competition come Sunday. Can I ask you to, before I let you go, to make your pick maybe for Sunday? Do you think it's Panthers or Texans? I don't care about the line. Straight up, do you want to make a pick yet?
Yeah, I think the Texans actually win comfortably, and just because they're playing at home, Carolina, they still have J.J. Watt. Whitney Merciless has had an outstanding start to the season. I think they're going to force Kyle Allen into a lot of pressure. I think they're going to force him into some mistakes.
Something to look out for. Thank you, Jeremy Branham. Yeah, that's what you got to wonder, is if there are some Texans defensive stars, really. And Whitney Merciless and J.J. Watt, you don't have to worry about J.J. being Clowney anymore. Too bad. I'm sure some Carolina fans would have liked to have him around to see him after being at the University of South Carolina. It would have been nice to see him play in the NFL for some locals. But it'll be a good matchup. We'll see what Kyle Allen can do. I think it's a more evenly matched game. Of course, Jeremy would think the Texans win. He's a Texans reporter. Good for him. Pick your team. All right. Derek Fogle filling in straight up with Sturge. Coming up next, baseball injuries are back. Oh, boy. The latest weird slip-up that ended someone's season. I'll tell you about it next. And hopefully, Diesel, hopefully there's no weird ways that you've hurt yourself. I'll share a bad story with you guys. Derek Fogle filling in, ESPN Upstate. Yes, it is. Filling in, Derek Fogle. Great to be with you guys. And we got to get right into this. Went a little over because of some technical difficulties with Texans reporter Jeremy Branham. He had some insight there. Said for Kyle Allen to possibly be weary of the Texans' pass rush, caused some problems for Phillip Rivers. I don't know if you noticed this past weekend. I was flipping back and forth in the afternoon games between Chargers, Texans, Cardinals, Panthers. Should be a good one Sunday. I think very evenly matched. He chose the Texans to win. And rightfully so. He reports on them. Wise man. Let's move on to this. Baseball injuries are back. When I say baseball injuries, we know what we're talking about, right? Like, Diesel, you know what I mean. There's always something like Sammy Sosa sneezed and threw out his back, right? Baseball injuries.
Yeah.
Here we go. Did you hear about this one? A's pitcher Lou Trevino, cracked rib, out for the season. How, you might ask? He slipped in the shower. Oy. Okay. If he did this at home, I'm hoping that's the case, because actually, pull back the curtain here in a weird way. When you are on the road, actually, even when you're at home, everyone has shower sandals to go to the showers at, because you're on the tile floors. You know, you want shower sandals. It's at M shower. That's what you do after the game. So hopefully that didn't happen at the clubhouse shower. But come on. Slipping in the shower. I have not done anything that like life alert-ish, if that makes sense. I think it does. That's a very life alert moment. But I will say that I have had a slip. And Diesel, if you've had one, I know I'm putting you on the spot. Think of it and you can tell me. I happened to have slipped and the fridge door was open and I smashed my forehead, like, wow, almost right in between the eyes. Yeah. And it like took a legitimate chunk of skin. Not quite as bad as a cracked rib, but I have slipped and it wasn't a life alert moment, but it was bad. So I guess I can't really criticize him. And then, another baseball injury for you this year, which this was old, but Carlos Correa, his masseuse broke his rib, allegedly. So baseball injuries, right? Do you have a stupid injury like that, Diesel, or a slip or something?
Not as an adult, but as a child, I ran face first into the corner of our piano. And so I have a noticeable scar in between my eyes from where I did that as a child. But nothing as an adult.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I was an adult and slipped and smashed my head on the fridge door. That was really bad, man. Really embarrassing. And then I seriously had a scab the size of a quarter on my forehead for like a month.
Well, I did wake up until earlier this or last summer. I woke up and literally couldn't walk on one foot. Just no idea what I did. Just couldn't walk.
Yeah, yeah. Time for life alert for you, Diesel. We'll get to that. Coming up next, we're looking forward to some college football Saturday. Will the Gamecocks have a hostile home environment? We'll discuss. Derek Fogle filling in, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.